Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
All right, here we go on a Monday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon producing. We actually have the boss filling in today.
Drew's only producing for the first, like, 2 minutes.
That's right.
He's heading to Topeka.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. You might have heard that Topeka might be the center of the sports world today in Kansas City metro area.
Okay, sure. The whole sports world felt a little strong.
In the KC Metro, that's where things are about to go down. It sure seems like, barring a complete shift in the last, hours ahead of an LCC meeting to decide what the stadium finalized deal is going to look like for the Chiefs on the Kansas side. And then, of course, the governor of Kansas, Laura Kelly, expected to have a press conference at 3 o'clock today. So it feels like it is all coming together, at least with the Chiefs side of things. The Royals, we'll see. But that's why Drew's off to Topeka. I know Fesco's going to be there as well. We'll see if everything ends up happening the way it sure seems like it's going to happen here a couple hours later.
I mean, barring some seismic shift in where all the momentum is heading. Yes. Today at 1 o'clock, they'll have their meeting, which feels like a formality at this point. And then at 3 o'clock, all the big wigs between the Chiefs and the state of Kansas will get to take their victory lap and successfully taking them over the state line and building a brand new stadium. I don't know if we'd get like a rendering today. Kind of feels like we wouldn't. And the Chiefs would just do their own thing. But either way, the announcement that the Chiefs would go to the Legends area, which is where we kind of assume they'll be, and that they'd be moving to Kansas after what has been a 3 year at least. 4 year stadium saga? It's been almost 2 years since they voted it down in Jackson County. So, like, I mean, I got to assume it was like a year's worth of buildup in the run-up to that or something. So what feels like has been inevitable for a long time, one of these stadiums will finally actually get announced where they're going.
I do think, you know, when you look at Kansas City sports history, though, I understand the Super Bowls and the on-the-field stuff that we obviously have experienced over the last couple of years. But when you think about the shift from the state of Missouri to the state of Kansas with an announcement expected later today. It is one of the biggest sports days we've had in Kansas City history. I mean, these are franchises that have always been at the Truman Sports Complex. Obviously, the Chiefs come from Dallas and the Dallas Texans. Lamar Hunt moves the team up here. He wanted a standalone metro area. He knew the Cowboys were going to be in control, really, of the Dallas area. And now we're talking about, for the first time in our lifetimes and most of our listeners' lifetimes, really, that this team is not going to be playing in Missouri, you know, 4+ years from now when they have a new stadium. That in its own right is one of the biggest shifts we've seen in Kansas City sports history.
And you can argue to what degree if you want, but it's inarguable that Arrowhead Stadium is an iconic venue in the NFL because it's not like baseball in the sense that there aren't that many older stadiums that exist in there. Arrowhead in its own right is an iconic venue. And so the idea that these two teams that have only really played there, I understand the Royals briefly played at Municipal or whatever, right? Like someone at a certain age might briefly remember the discussion point of, oh, here's a time in which the Royals played a different stadium. For almost anybody my age, even a little bit older than me, a little bit older than you, we only remember Kauffman Stadium, Arrowhead Stadium. The idea that today, and I understand it's still 4 or 5 years down the road, but the idea that today I'll know for sure that the Chiefs are no longer going to play at Arrowhead Stadium. No more football shaped, you know, scoreboards unless they bring that.
Yeah,
I don't know
what elements they're going to have.
I understand they'll have tailgating, but not in that parking lot anymore. All the stuff we're kind of accustomed to, that at 3 o'clock today, we might know that that's going to cease to exist. Yeah, that feels pretty big. That's a pretty impactful thing, I would say, to know.
I thought on Friday you could sense a bit of the desperation coming from the Missouri side. So you had Phil Lavota, who is the interim Jackson County commissioner, held a somewhat of a surprise press conference. He also spoke about the property tax situation, but the interest to us, of course, was the chief side of things. You had Mayor Q on with CDOT on Friday. I thought both were really, really interesting. It seemed like a lot of desperation knowing where things were trending, and it seemed like a lot of table setting for what is going to happen today. What I mean by that is, hey, here's what we offered. We were willing to give them X amount of dollars. These were the incentives we were going to offer them, all of that, and yet they chose to leave us. It's not our fault. We gave them this great opportunity.
Oh, they're definitely
gonna do that. That's the table that they were setting, and look, that's politics, and that's going to play out no matter what side of the state line you're on. But listen to a little bit of what Mayor Q said with CDOT on Friday. I thought this was interesting because it's one thing to say, hey, we've got conversations going, we've got this to offer them. He was very confident that there was not going to be an announcement today, and barring a huge shift, that's going to be proven incorrect.
And why are you hearing a lot of people talking? Because you got a peacock if you want to steal something. That's the idea. But I'm actually not concerned. I'm sitting here fairly comfortable with where we are, the relationships we have, the negotiations we have. But I will say who will make the news and who will break the news. It ain't going to sneak up on Twitter or on this 7 a.m. hour of a radio show. It's going to be something that you see actually firmly announced, and you will not see that on Monday.
Something firmly announced, and you will not see that on Monday. Well, that's probably not going to be accurate, to say the least.
Barring some sort of change, I feel like that's definitely what we're going to see on a Monday. And I'm still surprised in the sense that, not now, but if you go back through all the, like, what Clark cares about and what the Hunt family cares about. Like, I don't even care if it's the small stuff, like the Preston Road Trophy, but his dad's name being on the Lamar Hunt Trophy, obviously, for the winner of the AFC, their history going back to the merger, like, they are firmly, the Chiefs are firmly ingrained in the history of the NFL, the history of the AFC. They are one of like the five original families, it feels like, that still own an NFL team. I was surprised he'd be willing to like let Arrowhead go. I always thought he would try to find some way to maintain or keep Arrowhead. And you and I have said for a lot of reasons why we'd be fine with a new stadium and why that wouldn't bother us. But I am surprised he eventually got talked into it, because I think that there was a time where, not a riff, but a moment between the business side and the chief side where the business side was like, hey man, it makes no financial sense for us to spend time at the Truman Sports Complex. We can't develop it. We can't put business around it. We can't make money off of it. It doesn't make sense. And the like, we don't care. We want Arrowhead part of it. So I was, when they finally did kind of make this pull over to Kansas, I thought they'd find their way to stay at the Truman Sports Complex with a renovation for the longest time. And then they eventually, it seems like, are barreling towards us this afternoon.
I'll be interested to hear, assuming Clark Hunt speaks this afternoon, and that would be the expectation if everything ends up happening the way we think it's going to later today. Someone will ask him, hey, what do you think your, it's a fair question, what do you think your dad would think of this move?
Like, I'd ask him that.
And I'd be curious to hear his response. Like, you're laying out the fact that he built that stadium, or his dad built that stadium. Remember, though, his father also named the Super Bowl the Super Bowl. And what do you possibly get with a brand new dome or retractable stadium?
You might get a Super Bowl if you got Clark's kind of ball.
There's a real thought, knowing that Clark Hunt has been very involved in these committees with the NFL for years, that his dad is one of the founding fathers, as you said, with where we're at and a lot of the elements of the NFL, including the Super Bowl being the Super Bowl, that they would throw him a bone if he gets a new stadium. And so there's part of that. As much as it is, oh my gosh, you're going to leave the stadium your dad built, there's a chance, though, that you're going to host a game that your dad named. And I think that's another element to this, that as much as on the negative side, people will bring up the leaving, there's also, you could honor him in that way. And I'll be curious to hear from Clark Hunt on that later.
I'm sure I'll have an answer for it. Nate Taylor was in here maybe a month ago, and he made it very clear in no uncertain terms, the Chiefs want a Super Bowl. And we know, like, they did the cold weather ones for a little while. They put it in Minneapolis, and they stuck it in Detroit, and they were like, eh. We're kind of moving away from cold weather. We're back to New Orleans, Miami, Phoenix,
hard to blame
LA.
Them, huh?
No, I don't blame them. It was like a snowstorm the year was in Minneapolis. And so I understand the desire to move away from it. But if there's an owner that has the kind of pull that Clark Hunt has, if they build a brand new $2.5 billion, whatever the cost ends up being, stadium out there, I'd actually be kind of surprised if they didn't get one. It also might mean that they could get another draft down the road. Could also mean
Final Four.
Final Fours. And I mentioned, and I think people like WrestleManias, whatever the big events that we don't get now are, those are more likely to come to town in a new stadium project, which is what they're trying to wrestle and balance with. It just feels, it will feel so weird. Same as Kauffman. This is not like unique to Arrowhead. But it will feel so weird the first time you go to a Chiefs game in Kansas City that is not at Arrowhead
totally.
Stadium. Yeah. It will feel wrong in so many ways. And I understand you and I mean, we've been to some of the nicer stadiums in the league. Allegiant's quite pleasant to be in, despite the
but
fact
there's not
it
much
is a
personality
dome.
There. And that's yeah. where the Chiefs are going to have to be creative with it. You know, yes, the fans make the atmosphere at Arrowhead. You're 100% right. And while there will be some fans that will not migrate over for a variety of reasons, either out of pride for their state, financial elements where we all know there's likely going to be PSLs, these personal seat licenses. And so there will be some fans that do not make the transition over. There will also be plenty of fans that do and plenty of fans that are even more excited because of it. So I think acting like the atmosphere will stink is not true. But you're right, with these new mega stadiums that we've seen, the character is not the same.
No.
And that'll be the biggest adjustment if, in fact, today it gets announced. I want to remind everybody that the timeline for today. So at 1 o'clock, the expectation is that Kansas officials are going to hold this LCC meeting in Topeka to review the possible Chiefs Stadium finance plan. Then at 3 o'clock, and the reason why this is scheduled is because they expect that to be finalized. 3 o'clock, the governor, Laura Kelly, is going to hold a, quote, special announcement. I
think what could it be?
We can all assume what that is. Okay. And then there is at least one report out there saying that the mayor's office has commented on the Casey Moe side, that would be Mayor Lucas, that he would hold potentially a press conference today on the sports team's developments. So it would be a reaction to the fact that the Chiefs at that point in time, we would think, would be going to Kansas. But also, what does it mean for the Royals? So that's the plan today. And it looks like it could be one of the more historical days in Kansas City history. You guys can always chime in on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Video stream up and running, YouTube, Twitch, X, Facebook, and of course on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe. We were delaying the inevitable, which is talking about that miserable football game in Nashville.
Oh, you didn't enjoy it yesterday?
I forgot how miserable football looks. Like, we've been spoiled. We've been spoiled for a decade, since 2014, frankly,
probably,
that the Chiefs haven't made the playoffs. That's the last time. And yesterday was a reminder that football pre-Andy Reid, football pre-Patrick Mahomes to a certain extent, but mainly pre-Andy Reid, because there were still some great years with Alex Smith. But that's what we had in this city. And I forgot how miserable of an experience it is to watch a bad football team play in a meaningless football game.
I'll be honest. It was... Some of it is the Mahomes stuff. It was maybe the least enjoyable regular season game I have watched in a decade, like maybe 2012, like year before Andy Reid got here level bad. It was reminding me of watching Thigpen or Brady Quinn. I mean, I just like, it was just flashbacks to misery is what it felt like. And look, in the end, I can live because I want them to have a higher draft pick and life is what it is. And so winning is not really in their best interest at this point. What's weird is, I don't even think they weren't trying. They were, I think on defense, they were actively, and on offense, were actively trying to win that football game and couldn't because of how bad it was. And I texted you guys in the middle of the game and I put it in our little rundown or whatever. That game genuinely made me think, boy, Mahomes has been covering up some major issues for a while. Because when I had to watch Oladokun and even Minshew for the brief time try to cover this offense, I'm like, what have you just been masking even defensive issues this whole time? Patrick Mahomes has been raising their bar so high that I had been ignoring some other, maybe slightly larger problems with their roster, because watching that game yesterday made it look like a team that would have gone 2-15 without him.
Don't you hope, though, that as bad as that was, and we'll see how the final two play out with the Broncos and the Raiders, but is that what is going to cause them to look in the mirror even more? Like, I'm hoping it was so bad without Patrick Mahomes that there is an even more likelihood that they look in the mirror and say, all right, this roster has flaws. It doesn't have to be completely blown up, but we've got a lot of roster holes. We've got to take a longer view approach. You know, not a full rebuild, but a true retooling of the roster. That this is not just, oh, we get Mahomes back, and there were just some breaks that didn't go our way here in 2025. I think it's very clearly more than just that, whether we're talking on the coaching staff, whether we're talking with personnel, and they're going to have some really tough decisions to make in the offseason.
To only have pride to play for and then still show up like that is tough. Because what's remaining for the rest of the season? You and I want them to get a better draft pick. We for know sure. They're going to try. So, like, what do they have left to try for? Ruin Denver's chance at the number one seed? They got that, maybe.
Yeah, I kind of like that idea.
I guess. Well, that's fun, at least. If they're going to win, ruining Denver's day is fun. I don't care about that. Travis Kelce's last game at Arrowhead? I guess they've got that. And look, I was very disappointed they didn't let Travis Kelce throw a ball in the last one. Give him
well, you
his
want
final
to throw a
home
pass?
Game. Yes. He's thrown a couple in his career. They're down to Oladokun. I don't know what quarterback they're going to sign the rest of the way. Let Travis Kelce go out throwing one more pass. Give him one more pass, Gold. What's the harm? He used to be their emergency quarterback. I think it might be Noah Gray now. But give Travis Kelce one attempt.
Yeah, I don't need that, but I will say that, you know, if these final three games, now two games, hopefully that's not how it goes for Travis Kelce individually, where he's on a team that has nothing going offensively. Now we know he's going to have a third string quarterback throwing him the football, but where he's getting just one or two targets. My guess is on Christmas against the Broncos, they've got to scheme up a few things. His last game at Arrowhead, if in fact it is, and it looks like it probably is going to be, it cannot be with him having one target, one catch for 5 yards.
The problem is, though, right now where their roster's set, they've got a massive talent disparity between these two teams going into this game, especially because of the quarterback situation. So when they step on the field on Thursday, what world can I envision the upset for Kansas City? Like, it would take three turnovers and a punt return for touchdown at this point. Like, it is hard to see a pathway where Chris Oladokun or whatever quarterback, I guess they sign off the street, Philip Rivers style. Matt Cassel said he was available on Twitter.
I saw that tweet.
And I couldn't even take it. I had to take it at least half serious because of Philip Rivers' return, but also because I don't know what quarterbacks are left on the street to just be the backup to Oladokun, other than if it's whatever training camp quarterback they had, and I don't remember the name.
But that doesn't even matter. I mean, it's gonna be Chris on Thursday.
Well, unless he gets hurt the way Gardner Minshew got hurt.
Well, sure, yeah, that's just some bad injury. Like, I actually feel terrible for Gardner Minshew. He had an unbelievable opportunity in the final 3 weeks to audition, perhaps to be the starting quarterback week one next year if Patrick Mahomes is not back from the ACL injury, and now no audition. He's not going to be ready himself for week one. That's a devastating injury for him. I do feel for Gardner Minshew. He had a great opportunity, and what, he threw three passes or something like that, and that's it?
I will say, it might be small, admittedly, in this game, and it's not going to make you feel any better. I'll just be honest. It is not going to make you feel any better about how bad the Chiefs looked yesterday. Because, again, awful viewing experience. Not fun to watch. No one enjoyed watching it. I saw Matt Foster, his video after the game with Trey Smith, Travis, and both his podcast and the stuff leading up to it talking about it. I do like that Travis Kelce and guys like Trey Smith are still saying, it's my job. They're like, why are you even out there? Why not just shut it down for the season? Why not just call it good? And Trey Smith's like, you're clearly dealing with a back issue. You're like, it's my job. I'm being paid a lot of money, whether it's to protect Patrick Mahomes or Chris Oladokun, and I'm going to protect him. And Travis Kelce, these might be his last few chances to play football because there's still a better than not chance. He retires at the end of the season. At least there's still something to play for. I'm going to play for a little bit of pride. I am going to go out at least still trying to play this game, even if it's ugly. I know it's not going to make you feel better about the performance, but some guys are still out there giving it a shot.
Well, Thursday, I mean, this relates to Kelce. Thursday should be viewed as a bit of a celebration for him. If in fact this is it, Thursday night, Christmas night, you're going to see fans with all sorts of signs, I'm sure, celebrating Travis Kelce, knowing this might be the last time they get to see him play football in person. A guy that's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, everything that he's done for this franchise. And he's got some milestones, you know, career milestones that he potentially can hit. I think the latest number is, what, six or so away from passing guys like Anquan Boldin. Those are the kind of things I want to make sure they accomplish in the final couple weeks. We're at that point. It kind of sucks that we're talking about just making sure certain guys get certain of incentives, but that's where we're at. And Travis Kelce is somebody that you absolutely do right by if you're the organization, scheming up some opportunities, making sure he at least gets some of those done before he hangs the cleats up.
Yeah, I mean, it. I would like it. If given the opportunity, I don't know why you wouldn't just force feed him at this point. Plus, the entire offense was operating inside of what? 5 to 7 yards of the offensive line? So it's not like they weren't already working towards this. But like, I do wonder at what point for the Chiefs this season will the frustration boil over so much, and that game very well could have been it, that everyone's just like, well, just pack up shop, start purchasing my tickets for whatever off-season vacation I'm taking, because I can't take it anymore. And losing to the Tennessee Titans by 2.5 touchdowns, and then having to turn around on a short week and take on a divisional opponent who is currently the number one seed in the AFC, that's going to be a tough one. Now, the only hope that gives me is maybe it's a divisional game and things get weird and I watch backup quarterbacks do weirdo stuff all the time. Maybe there's just some miracle for Christmas and they can make it a game and make, at the very least, make Denver sweat a little. Can you give me that when you and I are sitting around on that night? Can we just like, can we get a little sweat, Gold? Can we feel a little bit of a challenge for Denver?
Hey, look,
please.
They put themselves in a spot. They're not ruining Christmas this go around, though. You know, last year they won on Christmas. They lost on Thanksgiving. They're at a point now where I don't think they can even do that for fans because of where the season has trended. I think the other thing, though, for Kansas City heading into this one, and we're going to talk about it more in about 10 minutes or so, is still the, will they play younger players in this spot? And I know there were particular Breshard Smith, the running back we wanted to see more of. There was Bosa we didn't get to see all that much of. I don't understand that approach. As bad as it was in Nashville, and maybe they'll change in the final two games against Denver, why is Breshard Smith not getting more carries, more touches? Isaiah Pacheco, guy that's won a couple rings with your organization, right?
Yep.
Simply not the same player post-injury. I don't need to see him getting the majority of touches out of the backfield. Kareem Hunt, the majority of touches out of the backfield. We are beyond time for them to go ahead and start showcasing some of the younger players to see what you have at the running back spot next year.
I know we're going to like really focus on that here in a minute because there is a big part of that. I think this goes back to this Andy Reid is a players coach thing. And he knows Pacheco doesn't have a job with him next year. And he wants to make sure that some other team can choose to get Pacheco a job. And when you like you have a coach like that, and that's his reputation, and players love playing for him, and why they play hard for him, that's maybe this idea going into it. But I mean, there was zero redeemable qualities of that entire game. Special teams still stunk. They had bad kick returns, penalties on kick returns. Somehow they managed to get a holding call on a punt return in which their punt returner took a helmet to the directly to the junk.
Yeah, Remigio did. Yes. Yeah. That happened.
I mean, he looked like he was in discomfort for the better part of 15 minutes after that, continuing to adjust himself.
I would have been on the ground for another 20 minutes.
I'd
just retire sitting there.
If I were a professional football player, which I've clearly never been close to in my entire life, I'd have retired. That'd have been it. That'd have my last snap as a player. I'd have quit the second that happened to me. But even on that, they had a penalty called on them. He got hit before the ball even got there, and they still got a penalty called on them. Missed kicks, bad kick returns. Defense couldn't get a stop. The Titans beat them on third and long, a consistent problem all year. Then you get into the offense part, can't move the ball. And look, some of it's just, you're down to Minshew and Oladokun, and, you know, but they weren't, and backup tackles and backup left and right tackles.
It was a disaster.
It's not designed to be good, but it was a mess.
Monday's football coverage presented by BC Bank, where they're focused on your success at BC Bank. They've been building business and growing wealth since 1868. Learn more at bcbank.com. We will get into more about the rookies and what we want to see in the final couple weeks here in just a little bit. I have an update for you, though, on the Guillotine League. Remember the controversy on Thursday and Friday, and people were saying, am I a jerk for not agreeing to do the chop or not? And then Puka Nacua goes out there and gets 45 points, and I started getting messages saying, Seagold, you should have taken the deal for the Guillotine League.
I didn't say that. I just said it was always a risk from the beginning.
I was projected to win by 15. Winner take all. Guillotine. Loaded roster. Puka goes out, gets 45 on Thursday night, and then at that point, I'm projected to only win by 4. Fast forward to tonight. Here's what we have. People were asking on the text line if I'm going to regret not chopping. The answer is no. I need 8 points. 8 points for McCaffrey.
PPR league, right?
This is it. 8 points tonight.
Oh, then you
so
should
I'm
be fine.
Still very happy with my decision. You said I was overly confident. Very happy with my decision to not agree to the chop.
I definitely thought you were overly confident just knowing fantasy football projections. I don't think 15 is enough for me to be like, yep, I'm all squared away. But barring an injury, you're fine.
Well, tonight, that's the risk with McCaffrey, right? It's McCaffrey or Jonathan Taylor. Which one? I can choose either because it's a Guillotine league. The roster's loaded. CMC, I think you can get PPR, so I can get the receptions. Whereas Taylor's not going
to
catch the ball.
I think you have to start McCaffrey. Okay. Like, even though the injury risk is a real risk for your team, I would say you're fine.
The trash talk was heating up too. I got a couple messages as soon
from
as
from other people in the league or from
yeah,
him?
Yeah, well, and from him.
Oh, he was like, that's just bad.
Thursday night,
cursing yourself.
Thursday night, I get oh, you left JSN on your bench. He got 22 points. How could you? It's guillotine league though, Cody.
Everybody gets 22 points.
Correct. So I feel pretty good, barring two carries in and McCaffrey tweaks an ankle or something. Should be set.
I just like I know that the only part that should scare you is that Christian McCaffrey is, but he's either hurt the entire year or healthy the entire year. He tends to go one of two ways. He doesn't tend to just like get dinged up and miss a game. He just like misses an entire season or plays the entire
time. I was looking forward to
so you're probably safe.
I was looking forward to Phillip Rivers tonight for Monday Night Football. And then I saw last week and they should have won the game. It felt like that was all in for the Seattle Seahawks game. Game plan wise, we're going to play amazing defense. We're going to limit possessions. And it still wasn't good enough. This to me is a game where the Niners are actually going to blow out the Colts. I actually like them quite a bit tonight.
You think they're, you don't think it's going to happen for
Phil? It was all in last week for Phillip Rivers and the Colts. Now for the 49ers, were able to see the limitations, frankly, of Phillip Rivers against Seattle. They'll exploit those even more. I think it's going
to
get ugly.
Isn't it crazy? I mentioned Matt Cassel earlier. Is it related to signing a quarterback off the street the way Phillip Rivers is? Matt Cassel's a year younger than Phillip Rivers.
A year younger?
Younger! Oh, how long ago does it seem like Matt Cassel?
When's the last time he threw a football?
Oh, I mean...
Rivers was in the COVID year, 2020.
Let me look, because now you've got me curious. The last time he threw a pass, 2018. Two full years so before Phillip Rivers.
7 years ago, man.
No, I'm not saying they should sign Matt Cassel.
Come on.
And in that year, he only threw for 59 yards. He was a backup quarterback for then-Detroit. And was active for two whole games. He only really threw like he was only in eight total games from 2016 to 2018. Gotcha. So probably not the best signing.
We're just getting started here on a Monday. We'll certainly keep an eye on any stadium news that might be coming out of Topeka. Remember, 1 o'clock today, that's when the LCC meeting is expected to take place and perhaps finalize a stadium deal that would send the Chiefs across the state lines to the state of Kansas. But we'll talk more on the field again with the Chiefs and some of these young players and whether or not the Royals TV deal could be a problem in 2026.
You're listening to Cody and Cole. Tune in for the Chiefs Red Half Hour every day, starting at 11:30 right here on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
Just getting started here on a Monday. A little bit later on in the 1 o'clock hour today, Nate Taylor from ESPN going to join us. Not only will we talk a little bit about yesterday in Nashville, but of course his thoughts on the stadium front. Right when Nate joins us is when the LCC meeting is expected to take place in Topeka to finalize a decision for the Chiefs stadium deal, which would send them to the state of Kansas. I was telling you during the break, and I was reading the text line, which is always open, 913-586-7965. And I recognize that there's a huge chunk of our audience that maybe bummed out about the news. There's also a huge chunk of the audience that's excited. And I told you, like, is it all right for me to be excited, though? Still, like, obviously, I live on the side of the state line, the Kansas side. Like, I'm excited for today. I would be lying to you if I told you, oh, yeah, you know. Yeah, I'm obviously excited. You know,
it'd be kind of weird for me to be like, no, you can't be excited unless you're mad about Arrowhead. Because there are people on the Kansas side that are still mad about this, too.
Sure.
Because they like Arrowhead.
Sure. Yeah, and we've talked about our experiences at Arrowhead. You and I both grew up in this area. All I know is Arrowhead. That's the first stadium I ever went to for a sporting event. And of course, I've seen some amazing games there, including multiple AFC title games. And Arrowhead will always be, you know, the best, frankly. Now, there's the new stadium, and over time, I think there'll be elements of it that people really, really, really like.
Yeah.
And we all know where the league is shifting. But I'd be lying to you. I'm excited for today. Also excited because we've been talking about this for 4 years.
That might be where my excitement is I just want to know. Like 2 months ago, I couldn't take it anymore, and it's been 2 years since doing this. And I know we'll talk more about the stadiums later in the show again, too. This really boils down to like very simple math, which is Jackson County had a chance and the state had a chance a couple of years ago. The vote failed and for a variety of reasons, not all just the voters' fault. I'm not trying to say like, well, they didn't do it. It was a bad plan and all this other stuff. But we warned that like they could go to Kansas if this were the case. But this idea that they're just throwing, lobbing these Hail Marys now, like, Phil Lavoda, he sent a letter. Ooh, oh, he really got him now. He sent a letter. They have had 18 to 24 full months to send letters to the Chiefs outlining their plan. The only reason it's public now and they're actually attempting to do anything is because they're going to lose their baby. And they don't want to lose it. And so now they're doing the Hail Mary stuff. And it's like, you didn't just have the vote. You had all the time from the vote ended until Kansas got serious about it to make an attempt, to make a play, to genuinely try. And it feels like this is all last-ditch effort stuff now, which feels kind of useless.
I think what we're seeing in the last 72 hours is just a lot of the political side of it, which is we're gonna lay, as I said, the table out with what we were willing to offer. We being Jackson County, Missouri side,
our plan's better,
and say we were willing to give them, let's say $700 million, whatever the number is, right? So
more than Kansas is giving them. That's what they'll say.
Yeah, and a better plan with it, that'll be the spin. And that's by the way. That's not unique to them. That would have happened on the flip side too. If all of a sudden if the Chiefs would have announced that they're staying and none of the teams are going to Kansas folks on the Kansas side would say the same thing. We did everything. We were willing to give them all this, no public vote, all of that. So some of that is part of it. They're also worried about, in some cases, some of them are not up for re-election, others are, but that is also the side of it on both sides of the state line. You've got politicians on the Kansas side. They're going to use this to help them get elected in a certain office. And there's folks on the Missouri side that are worried that this could hurt them retaining office or whatever. So
getting higher office.
Politics are definitely at play. The Phil Lavoda press conference, we'll play some of that again, maybe in the 11 o'clock hour. That was desperation. And it's not even his fault. He took over and tried to clean up the Frank White mess. Just way too late, though, unfortunately for him.
Yeah. It was bad. Then you get the game yesterday, which we've talked a little bit about and the frustration over it. This is where I'll hear the arguments for, and the beginning of the arguments. Not that I'm there yet, but if we go through this in another year, then this is where I'll get on board. And you and I had said, we go through another year, then I'll be in the same boat as the game pass Andy Reid by, and we'll have to have that conversation, truthfully. Because their unwillingness to play young players in the game yesterday was the most frustrated I've been with this organization all year. It is neglect. Jack Cochran cannot have three times as many snaps as Bassa. Mike Edwards cannot have triple the amount of snaps as Jaden Hicks. Breshard Smith didn't get a carry. Jalen Royals took three snaps. What the hell are we doing? You were down 26-9. Hell, even if you didn't start the game giving those guys the snaps, when the game was done, at what point are you willing to actually... So either you're completely unwilling to give young players a chance, even in a lost season, or you think they stink, in which case just cut them because they stink and don't deserve to be on a football field. Those are the only two explanations, because not playing any of the young players yesterday was so frustrating. More frustrating for some players than others, but it's crazy that Jack Cochran and Mike Edwards and all these other dusty veterans are getting chances to play instead of young players who could actually help you next year.
Yeah, I Jaden Hicks and not getting playing time over Mike Edwards, and then Pacheco over Breshard Smith are the two that stand out the most to me. We discussed this going into the game. Like, hey, I understand Pacheco's going to get some carries, but Breshard Smith should not get, I even said, should not only get five. Cody didn't even get five carries. I was hoping he was going to get 8 to 10 carries. He didn't get anywhere near that. It makes no sense. I think this is the disconnect that I believe it was Nate Taylor was with us last week, kind of alluded to, going to the draft conversation, which is, it feels like you have a front office maybe that is willing to move forward with how they approach the draft as well, and looking at a kind of a more broad view of the organization. And then you have a little bit of a disconnect for the first time, as much as we've talked about the synergy that exists from the top down of the organization. I think for the first time, there is still a little bit of a disconnect of what the front office is willing to do and what the veteran coaching staff wants to do. And that is certain players they trust or don't trust. As much as we can say, hey, you whiffed on a draft pick, there are also certain players that you draft and the coaching staff may not be willing to give an opportunity to. And it's one thing when it's week 5, week 10, when your team is in the playoff hunt still. Now there's just no reason for it. Like, Mike Edwards has no long-term future with this organization. Isaiah Pacheco no longer will have a long-term future with this organization. I know you can't bench everybody. You got to play some of the veterans. You got to field a roster. You got to field 11 men on the field at a time. Like what I don't get is at a position like running back where you rotate guys in anyway, like it's not just Pacheco. It was Pacheco and Hunt all year. Why not dial back some of the carries for those guys and increase it for Breshard Smith? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Find out what you have, because Breshard Smith could be your number two running back next year.
It's bad.
They only have Carson Steele, maybe, and Breshard Smith under contract next year. And honestly, and Carson Steele by now, I think it's pretty obvious, is not part of their plans anyway.
I'll just be honest. It's bad coaching. It's bad coaching. It's bad, or like it's a bad organizational decision. It's all of those things. I don't care that a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, Spags stood up at a podium and said, Hicks did not take the developmental leap we were hoping for, and he's been making a lot of mistakes, and those errors are costing us. What can it cost you now? Nothing? A game against the Titans? Oh, no. It can't cost you anything anymore. There's no, it burns you down the road. Like, some veterans going to turn on you? They also probably know which players can help them next year. Some of this comes to these, like, you can be a player's coach. You really can. I'm not saying you can't be, and that's not important. But they take the player's coach thing too far when it comes to, like, the protected veteran class of, no, we can't possibly not let Mike Edwards audition for his next. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
That's not how it works. Just get him out of here.
913-586-7965. Someone says, why do you guys think you know more than the Chiefs do watching these guys practice every day? Two things with that. Number one,
I'm not even claiming they're better.
It's not that. It's you got to find out what you have, and these games don't mean anything at this point in time. You might as well start looking ahead and find out what do you have moving forward. That's number one. Number two, if the philosophy is that the coaches are perfect at everything and nobody can be critical, then we're all missing the point of, you know, what this whole thing is and this platform is, but also just, you know, how sports and commentary work. This idea that we're supposed to be like, oh, well, Cody, they're doing this, so there's no way it could be possibly incorrect. That's not how this works.
It's also just not accurate. And so, like, this is always, and we run into this issue all the time. Alex and I don't sit here in this pulpit and claim to be overall more ingrained with what the roster is, what the team is, how to run a complicated offensive system in the NFL. But also, if you're here to tell me that the Chiefs were right about what their running back situation was going into the year, and that we were wrong, I think you're stupid. Because we said the entire offseason, get a running back, your running backs are no good, and you need one. And if you're here to tell me you still think that the Chiefs were right, that they did not need a running back, well, then I'm going to tell you, like, what are we watching? Like, teams can still be wrong in their decision.
And sometimes you're just too close to the situation. Like, this is not a knowledge thing. Andy Reid will know more about football than everybody. It's just sometimes you get, there's a lot of ego involved and you think you have all the correct answers when it comes to even play calling, when it comes to roster construction. At times, you're not able to step back a little bit. And I think that is what happens a little bit, especially with, look, the track record of success that they have had. I mean,
they get a lot more grace in getting decisions right. Absolutely. But it's just, this one doesn't make any sense. Well, if they were still fighting for a playoff spot, I wouldn't even be arguing this. If they think at the end, and look, I might argue a little, like, I don't know, you sure Breshard doesn't, like we did early in the year. Are you sure Breshard doesn't help you a little bit? But we didn't also, like, beat it to death. But, like, at this point, giving Isaiah Pacheco 80% of the snaps at running back and giving Breshard Smith 20% of the snaps at running back just doesn't make future sense. They know Isaiah Pacheco is not long for this world in a Kansas City Chiefs uniform. Hell, I tell you that there's a better chance Kareem Hunt's on this roster next year than Isaiah Pacheco. And I'm not saying it's a 0% chance, but it's a low probability. Even if he is on your roster, you know what he is. You know what type of player he is. It is a fact. He is an established NFL player who has things he does well, things he doesn't do well. We know who Isaiah Pacheco is. We don't know anything about Breshard Smith as a running back because he's never been given an opportunity in an NFL field during a regular game to prove it.
The name we didn't even mention, Jalen Royals. Same thing.
He had three snaps. Yeah.
Same thing. What? Your number one receiver, Rashee Rice.
We're starting running curls with Juju.
Rice and Thorne were both out. So you're down two guys on the depth chart, and Jalen Royals still could only get three snaps. It's really bizarre. Really, really bizarre. That's one thing I do hope changes in the final two games, but why should I think that actually
is there any part of you that think it will?
Uh, There's a small part of me that thinks that they would do it in the final two games, but I would have thought they would have started that now.
The leading wide receiver in snaps was Juju Smith-Schuster, who got 41. Juju Smith-Schuster, who I know is not 37 years old. He just feels that way. He's actually like 27 or 28 or something. He's younger than you think.
Yeah.
But, I mean, is he going to even be on this roster? Hollywood Brown going to be back on this roster? Got 24 snaps? Like, are these players going to be on the roster?
Royals, Worthy, and Rice are probably the only guys in that wide receiver room that are back next year.
Maybe Tyquan.
Maybe. Yeah, sorry. Maybe Tyquan. That's fair. Yep.
I mean, I don't think it's like...
Yeah, that's fair.
I think it's like a 50-50 shot, maybe Tyquan.
You're right. That's a name I should throw.
But he wasn't even playing. So at least if you were playing Tyquan, Royals couldn't get on the field because they were playing Tyquan, I'd be like, you know what? They're trying to further evaluate. Is he their Justin Watson guy? Do they give him another year, bring him back? I make the argument. I hear you out. I don't think there's any chance Juju Smith-Schuster is on this roster next year. And if he is, you know what he is. He's an excellent blocker who can run some slants. Okay, fine. You already know. And I'm not saying you have to give him zero. That was never our argument. Doesn't mean Isaiah Pacheco doesn't get a single carry in the game. But it can't be that he gets 15 carries and Bashard Smith gets zero.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll get to the latest in the NFL with some of the coaching rumors that are out there, including a coach in the Chiefs division and whether or not his future is in doubt. And we'll briefly talk about the CFP first round action. I think it brought the takes that were all right there. People were waiting to press send on social media.
Saban.
Yeah, Nick Saban as well. So we'll get to that coming up in the next hour. But some news that I thought a lot of this was resolved, frankly, over a year or so ago when bankruptcy happened. But FanDuel Sports Networks, according to a couple reports, once again in trouble. We all know, why is that relevant here in Kansas City? That's because the Royals broadcasts, our regional partner, is through the FanDuel Sports Network. The Main Street Sports Group owns the FanDuel branded regional networks. And according to Sports Business Journal, they are at serious risk of dissolving unless a sale to sports streaming platform DAZN closes by January. And the news, this is this radio little excerpt from this article, it says the news comes as Main Street missed a December rights payment to the Cardinals. The company's 29 combined franchises between the NBA, NHL, and MLB are also at the same risk of missing rights payments in the coming months. This is a big problem, perhaps, for Major League Baseball, for the Royals, and where this can go.
Tough for teams who count on this money.
Yeah, it's a huge chunk of money that's on the books for them that they absolutely count on. Now, what would happen? The NBA said if it happens in the middle of their season, that the league would step in, utilize NBA League Pass, and that the 13 teams that are under this umbrella, they would just, you know, take it in-house, and then they would have to scramble to try to find a local, you know, distribution method over the air affiliates kind of thing. So the Royals at least have a little bit of leeway. It's on the middle of their season, but there's a chance right before the season starts, they could also be scrambling. I know a couple of their games
took a few under their wing,
and a couple of their games were on over the air this year, right? What was it? KSMO or whatever. Yep. They aired, what was it, like six games, like, seven games.
It was
like
a little more than that. It was kind of like every other Sunday or something.
Channel 5 had a couple of them.
Yeah. Yeah. KSMO aired a few more. And then Channel 5 had a few more in addition to that. Honestly, best thing for baseball, because we were waiting for this bubble, the sports TV bubble, and it appears to be in the regional network end. Not for the NFL, not for the NBA, not for these massive network deals, not for NBA on NBC, not for MLB on, you know, whatever streaming platform, Netflix, right? There'll always be a market for that. But for these regionalized sports network, the numbers had gotten so big. And in the long run, it would be good for the Royals and for baseball if they can talk all the baseball for the health of the sport. And because more owners are going to be in trouble with this, just like the Royals, for the health of the sport, if all the distribution comes in-house. And it is an NFL model of equal sharing rights, actual media network rights, not where the Dodgers get $125 million for their yearly deal and the Royals get 40. And I understand why the Dodgers
want that.
Not the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. You just need a majority. And there's only right now 5 to 9 teams or so in Major League Baseball that are the huge beneficiary of, we make so much more money than the rest of you that we can't handle it. You got to convince some of them it's for the health of the sport. They got a million other revenue options anyway. It's not the only way that the Dodgers make money or can spend way more money than the Royals or any of these other teams. It is not their only source of income or why they make so much more income than these others. So in the long run, I think it might actually be good for the health of the sport if these collapse in a weird way.
It's only the fact though, is that you'd be scrambling, you know, last minute. In the NBA, you're talking about in season. Major League Baseball, this is something that I think the Royals would know in January. It sounds like there's still a chance that DAZN, who is overseas, if you watch boxing, you're probably more familiar with what DAZN is. If you've probably seen the app, right? The black and white logo or whatever that they have. If they buy this, if they purchase this, or this deal goes through, then what we're discussing is all good and nothing's going to happen and they'll move forward as they are currently operating. But this report came up over the weekend from Sports Business Journal that this is a realistic possibility that we could see some of this go in-house and maybe it ends up with some more games over the air. I don't know, for the Royals 2026 season.
Could very well. Now we'll see what deal they work out. I think their very first game this year is on national TV, isn't
well,
it?
That,
is that why they moved it to that Friday night? That was weird. We didn't talk about that on the show. There was other stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
But the Royals opening game, which would typically be on Thursday in Atlanta, is now on Friday night.
Yep.
And so, like,
it is for TV reasons.
It's going to, and it's going to feel so bizarre. Some of it is just like, it feels like such a momentum killer for us. Like, baseball is here and it's back, and we come on the show on a Friday and then a Friday night, and there's a whole series before we talk about it when it comes back on a Monday. Feels weird.
Yeah, we don't get a real opening day. Like the excitement of, hey, we're 4 hours away from a baseball game happening on opening day.
I think instead, the whole opener make it that way,
it'll be a bunch of games on Thursday. And then, on Friday, we're still waiting. And then, you get the, I guess you get the home opener, which will be, the home opener is going to feel more like a true opening day this year because it really will actually be an afternoon baseball game. I don't know about you. I don't like opening day, even if they were hosting it. I don't want it at night. I want it in the afternoon. I want opening day baseball.
I don't disagree. It's something about, like, some things just feel right when they exist in the correct moment. It'd be like watching the Super Bowl at noon. Be like, well, that's not right. The Super Bowl's not at noon. That's a weird time, and it makes me feel uncomfortable. Opening day baseball, you're right, should be in the day. The daytime.
I guess the one exception, when the Royals won the World Series, so it would have been the 2016 season the next year when they were wearing the gold
uniform.
That was at night, right? Against the Mets. But that's different.
I don't know.
That's
I'm
a celebration of what you just did.
You got the standalone game that says, here we are. We're here and we've done it. So that felt a little bit different. But yes, other than that, opening day baseball feels like it should be during the day. Something about that's going to be weird. I do think in the long-term health of baseball, having negotiated collective rights for video, and it's going to make it more accessible. The thing that is so frustrating now about it is how many different ways that you have to, how many different platforms you might need. It's just hard to get them all the time.
Someone was texting. They said, no, the 2016 opener was even a day game.
Was?
So that Mets game with the gold unis and everything, or the gold, you
must know. Must have been that Friday night.
Yeah.
So that Mets game was definitely at night.
It was okay. So we were right.
It was Sunday night baseball.
Okay, that's what I thought. The text line's always right. I was told though, so I was trusting the text line. You know, and I'm glad we got that clarified. I thought it was a night game. I was there. So
he said it was a Sunday night game.
But still, it was a night game.
I'm 90% confident it was Sunday night baseball.
Isn't that what they do? Now with every whoever wins the World Series? So the Dodgers, they'll open up on a Sunday night game, won't they?
Haven't they opened up in Japan?
Wow, that's true. That's also terrible.
Yeah,
by the
way. I don't know what opening.
That's fair. I can't stand that. Opening day should not open up in another country. What are we doing?
It was Sunday, April 3rd, 7:38.
Okay.
First
boom.
Pitch.
Boom. The boss is always right.
6:30.
Blind squirrel finds a nut.
Local. Yeah.
So, I love this because despite what we just said and what you just said, we're still getting.
I was up on baseball reference.
Someone said, I was at the game. They gave out rings. It was a day game. So I
regret to inform you that the sun was just up longer. It was not day. I'm looking at it on baseball reference. It said 6:38. Local time, first pitch, 40,000 people in attendance.
I'm with you.
Sunday, April 3rd against the Mets.
They probably went to a
day game that was close.
With a giveaway of replica rings. That was opening night for the Royals.
I need to go look. And now you would think I would have it memorized. I have Cody, you've been to my apartment. I have a framed over my couch, one area of my couch. I have a framed photo. It's the aerial shot of opening day 2016. From the ring, and it says world champions, and it's that. Now it was kind of light out, I will say, but as Cody said, it's April. It's a little lighter out.
April, the sun's still up.
Yeah, we've already sprung forward or whatever.
Yeah, the shortest day of the year just happened, so it's just going to get longer.
I am happy about that. There's nothing worse than 5 o'clock being dark. That's awful.
Oh, it's the worst. Glad are you guys good with 70 degrees on Christmas Day?
Oh, feels, I love it. I love this.
Now, this is like this one I just talked about, a day game with baseball. It's wrong. Speck, it's wrong like a day game is wrong.
Christmas, give me warm weather any day of the year.
Christmas should not be 73. I should not be allowed to wear shorts on Christmas Day comfortably.
It's weird. I'll give you that. Like, it feels a bit off, but you're telling me you'd rather have 5 degrees and struggling to drive to your in-law's house because the weather sucks? No. I love it. I can't wait for this week to continue the way it is.
It could be 40. I'm not against 40. I'm just saying it can't be 70. You're going to be in a t-shirt and shorts to your family?
I won't. I'll wear jeans still, and I'll wear jeans and a polo or something.
Just wrong.
Because I'll be inside. I'm not going to be playing football in the backyard or something, you know?
No. We used to do that a lot on Christmas Day.
My nephews might want to shoot some hoops in the front yard or something like that.
If it's 70, yeah. I would think so.
There you go. I'm glad we got the opening day stuff sorted out. All right, up next, let's talk about the latest news around coaching in the NFL, including one coach that has his future in doubt in the AFC West, plus the narrative around the CFP. It's exactly what you thought it would be after the weekend.
This is Cody and Gold. Tune in for Nate Taylor every Tuesday at 1 o'clock, right here on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. Cody and Gold are brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.